Winspiration, the way to the essential. On UK Health Radio, Winspiration brings wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. Together, we can shape the world we want to live in. So let's get real and create the idea. Be extraordinary. Hello to another Winspiration episode, and I think it's a kind of special treat what I give you today. I'm at the moment in South Africa. I love to be here in the summer because in South Africa is now summer and in Switzerland it's cold. Here in South Africa, I grew up with, you know, Africa, the bushes, and everything is, yeah, poor here. And one friend from Europe asked me, can we do a Zoom? You do have Zoom down there? And I answered, maybe. You know, maybe here I'm in the area of Cape Town, and some people remember here was the first heart surgery done ever on planet Earth. And it is how many years ago? Do you still remember? Wow, it's a long time ago. And my experience here is now they really, in a lot of things, especially medicine, far ahead. What I experience here, it's so loving, it's so great, modern. But here you see also the so-called slums. And you see everywhere so-called poor people, the black. You see them on the streets, some are begging, offering services, but they're all incredible nice and friendly. And this reminds me of something what was really life-changing for me. 2008, I had the privilege, I was in Berlin, and someone organized it, Muhammad Yunus, Professor Muhammad Yunus, the guy who invented the microcredits, and he was there for a press conference about his new book and to be interviewed by the German TV. And he gave me a special interview. So I had the privilege, 15 minutes, to sit with him together and to record an interview. And this is for years on YouTube, and the title is Two Against Poverty. And now seeing the slums here, I remember it, and I will use this now, and I will include the video here in the radio, so you don't need to search on YouTube. You will hear it soon. He is so my guest of the day. But I want to say more what I really learned, what was so interesting. When he started the microcredit and got the idea, there were women and they worked for nearly no money, creating the famous baskets for someone who was selling them for money. And he asked this lady, why are you not doing it for yourself? Why are you working for someone else? And then he realized that she had not the money. It was a little amount of money. So he started, oh, it's an idea, I give you this and then you do it. But in the culture, he started to do it with men, and a lot of things happened what was not working. And they, after a while, they figured out how it was really working. So they created groups of five. So he gave to five women the credit, the loan, and but they made them responsible, so the group was responsible that everybody could pay back. And that was really interesting. In the end, it worked. And today, let me say, all is history. There is a Grameen Bank owned by 7,000-8,000 women today. And it's not just of microloans. And they progressed, and then they got a mortgage, they built houses. It's really a huge story. But what I really, really learned from him is, because we are in the Western world, and now here in the beginning of the year, we remember the Christmas time, where we had on TV a lot of shows asking for money. Now it's the right time with Christmas music. Please donate for cancer, do this and that. And Yunus taught me, charity is not good.
What?
Why is charity not good? You know, and just feel, if you give money to someone, charity, it is somehow I am capable to do it and you're the poor person. In my book, better the whole world against me than my soul. I was kind of upset with my government and Germany, saying they created a law of minimum wages and, yeah, teaching the people, you poor guys are not able to do something. You're not able to create something. You're worth from $3 a week to $5. What I'm going to say is, you are not capable to increase your personal value. And the government is not doing anything really to do it. They just say a law and say, we manifest that the entrepreneur is a bad guy. You're the poor guy. And we make a law that the bad guy needs to give you more. And here comes Yunus saying, charity is not good. So why is it not good? Because it's not helping people to grow. You keep them in the need. And I experienced this also with a project in Nigeria. We gave them money first, and they didn't change anything. They're just asking for more money. And when we started teaching them to do something different, it was a hard time to change their belief that they can create something. And this is what it's all about. And Yunus says, I don't give them money that they have money. I give them money, and the main purpose is to bring them back to dignity. Their dignity is important. So he also told the beggar, it's not okay that you're begging. You knock at doors anyway, start selling something. Because it's a totally different thing if you can make your own money instead of always begging. Okay, you need to learn how to beg successfully is another topic. But, that is not all. So I was really thinking about it. And with this, charity is not good. We are creating dependencies. Oh, I create a kind of ego feeling. I'm the good guy giving something. I look at whatever charity parties are there and companies are doing it and have a wonderful etiquette. It's good for a business to do some so-called charity. But it's not about giving people food, charity, money, or whatever. What is it what Yunus is doing? He is helping them to grow, to be independent, get the dignity back. In my book, The Best Is Yet to Come, I mentioned a story I got from him. There was a child blindness, so kids were easily blind, very young. So they were not born blind, but it happened that they lost the eyesight. And then they found out that it's a lack of vitamin A. And here comes a big pharma company and says, here we give you pills, vitamin A, and you solve the problem. And just imagine the courage, the foresight, and the strength. And Yunus said, no, can't be. No, there's something wrong with it. And he refused to take the pills for the people. And they were searching, and they found a plant which had enough vitamin A. So then they thought how to plant fields, grow it, harvest it, what to do with the plant, cook something. And then the kids got the food, and they got the vitamin A, and no blindness anymore. Gone. Totally different thing if they can do it by themselves. Not only that they created a new profession for the fields, workers learned something, what they could do. Now they are independent on their own, and the problem is gone. And if it's a pill, the problem stays. They're just treating the symptoms, and the Western company makes money. And that is the big thing, what I learned from him. Really think different. This is really good for the long run. And charity in this way is not. There might be situations where it's really a need to send something. Earthquakes, hurricanes, or whatever natural disaster, there is fast help needed. But nothing is good what keeps the people poor. And here we come to society system. In this interview, what you soon will hear, I started with a question, and it's really true. A journalist asked me shortly before that, I just brought the book on the market, Millionaire Spirit. So it was talking about millions, how important it is to become a millionaire, because the value of money is decreasing. So a million is nothing really anymore. You can't live really, or you retire with just 1 million anymore. Inflation is going on and on. Even if we had a short years now with low inflation rate, but it's back again, and it needs to come back, or they change the value of monies, everything. So you can't really live a good life and retire just on 1 million. But in our heads, we still have 1 million is a big thing. And when I brought out the book, I thought, okay, we all should have the mindset of becoming a millionaire. Whatever that is, if you have it in cash, or you have real estates, or whatever you do, have what rights you have, or what that you, ideally, are really safe on your own and not depending on the government. And now the book is on the market, and I get an interview from a journalist, and he asked me, seriously, he asked me that, Mr. Sonnenberg, do you really, really believe everybody should become a millionaire? Who is then doing the work? Oh, isn't that an interesting thought? We need the poor to do the work. And if you look at India, all these caste thing there, yeah, it's good. If you create something with that, you're born to clean the toilets, you're born to do this, and you can't move up in the system. So there is a system planted in the brain. And if you grow up and there's in the mom, the parents, the uncle, everybody says this, we are the toilet cleaners. And then you can start to believe it. But we as humans are all equal. We're programmed different. And that is what I really, really realized just in 15 minutes with Yunus. Not because he explained it, I felt it. He is it. I got the vibration. I got this energy and information field. And that changed everything in me. And charity, we call often non-profit. Get that? It's a non-profit organization. So there is a program for everybody not to do profit. So what if someone had an idea for profit? No, we are a non-profit organization. And that is more than stupid. Self-fulfilling prophecy, non-profit. And I learned from Yunus the difference between non-profit and not-for-profit. It is really about making profit, but it's not for-profit that share stockholders or whatever can get the profit. It's not about making people rich. It's not of misusing workers to be rich. That is for-profit. Not-for-profit is this company is good organized and wants to make profit, but for the purpose. For the purpose. And if we think about it, what does humanity needs? Like water or bread? So whatever you decide what is really important for humanity, what everybody, every human being on planet Earth should have, that should be a so-called social business, not for profit. And there can be businesses for profit. Why not? If it's some luxury stuff, car industry or whatever, then it can be for profit. Someone creates something and takes a profit. And we are all free to do it. But what we really need, like water, that shouldn't be something where for-profit companies step in with the buying power, get all the water sources, and then sell it to a higher price, and this way squeezing the people. This is not the right thing. And that is misusing people. And if we see in this way, companies should solve problems for people. But from the history, if it was governments, the Kaisers, all the companies, they used people to make profit. And like if we had, because this interview with Yunus was so interesting, it was 2008 after the financial crisis. Yeah, we had not only in Germany at that time says, oh, we need to rescue the bank because it's important for the system. There's no alternative for the system. So it would be really wise to rescue everything. What is important for the system has nothing to do with people. Corona was a little bit different. There we also looked at some, I wouldn't say people, but professions. Which profession is important to keep up the system, the health, so-called health industry. So, and Juno says, no, no, no. And the Human Development Index says, the most important thing is a human. And if we really understand that, that the most important, what they call thing, or the most important in the world is a human, then we should think about doing business different. Then we should really accept non-profit is not good, because non-profit keeps the human on a low level. And that's what we don't want. We want them bring the power, empower them, bring them back to dignity, to respect. If not for profit, you can do that. And also for profit is okay. And as I'm talking here now on the UK Health radio platform, for everybody who's a little bit familiar with the UK, or if you don't live somewhere else and don't know it, you can check on the internet Doc Trust. You know, we in Germany, when we have dogs, we have no owners, or they found other animals, nobody wants them. And you know, we have this sad situation just before vacation, a lot of more animals on the street. The owners left them because they didn't want them to take in vacation. And so have those animals and they need a home. And there's so many good people to create a home. And I just was so used to thinking, this is a charity object, subject. So we gave money to those tier homes. Dog Trust thinks different. It's just, like the name says, mainly for dogs. It started, at least, mainly for dogs. But they made it profitable. And they treat it like a business. So if someone is coming forward looking for a dog, they prepare it like you go in a shop and want to buy a car or everything. The not a celebration, it's afterwards, but the ceremony, how you come in, how you're invited and show the dogs and everything that they do is, wow, that is really kind of sales show. And the thing is profitable. And guess what? They could help so much more dogs. They could solve a problem because they didn't stay in the need. They learned how to do it. And I wish a lot of politicians could think like that and not misusing so much tax money from people because they are not in creation. Well, it starts with us. Can we get rid of the thinking of non-profit and thinking and not for profit? That we always think in profit. It's just a question of what for? For the purpose or as a judge? For me, for making money. And by the way, did you know that Rolex, this luxury watch, is a foundation? It's a business for profit, but the profit goes in a foundation to do something good. So somehow, even if it's a for-profit business, somehow it's not really for profit. Isn't that interesting? So let's make a short break and then we keep on going thinking in profit and non-profit.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, non-for-profit, but profit. And these not-for-profit doesn't mean we are not organizing. There can be competition. And competition is good because it forces us to be creative. It is good if there are more companies taking care of the water topic. So if there are more companies, but not to misuse the people, it's a not-for-profit business. But in this company, they are doing better. In that company, they're doing that. And it's just always the best for the people. It's competition who is the best, regard the purpose we are going, serving the people with good and clean water, the best water. And it's not misusing the people. And it's totally okay if people in those companies earn good money. Why not, if they do a good job? But we see those companies who are not for profit and striving really for a purpose, creating huge, great, and then sustainable results. So this is a simple idea how we can create a better future if we learn to think in not-for-profit and what is really good for a profit business. So before I dog now here more and more about this, I think it's time that you start listening now to Yunus or the interview. And it is something worth maybe listen twice or three times. There's so much value and wisdom in this 15 minutes in that what he is sharing. Professor Yunus, thank you for coming. We're really blessed to have you here. We know your schedule is very tight, but we like even to have the chance here to be more inspired and understand more. So you are saying, we want to eliminate poverty. Is this really possible? Because just weeks ago, I talked with a journalist and he said, no, it will not work. If everybody is rich, nobody will work anymore. So we need the poor.
Well, I don't think that's a good argument that everybody is rich, nobody will work anymore. That's not the reason why poor people, there won't be any poor people. We can create a world without poverty. Because it is in every human being. The gift that each human being has is of unlimited potential, unlimited creativity. And we come packed with it. You cannot separate it out from a human being. But unfortunately, we created a society where many of us never had an opportunity to unwrap that gift. So if the society just allows to let me unwrap my gift, I won't be poor. Because I know I have the talent, I have the creativity. And I'll pull myself up. Not because there are rich people or something. It's me. I can take care of myself. That's the whole thing. That's what the human being is all about. Human being is not created to be poor. That's not its normal state of affairs. Human being is created to contribute to the world. There's a distinction between an animal and a human being. Animal life is about searching for food all day. All the weeks, all the months, all the years, as long as you live. That's what you do. You feed yourself. Human beings don't worry about food. They are to contribute, change the world in a way everybody lives here in a dignified way. Food is an elementary thing. It should come as a part of its own life. It's a very small part of its attention. So that's what it will create, a world without poverty, because poverty is imposed on human being. It's not natural part of it. It comes from outside. So we fixed outside, nobody will remain poor.
Anyway, don't believe this because there are a lot of rich people working, so it can't be true. And I believe just like you said, and then you talked about the creativity, that just having existence and having the money, we are really able to live the creativity. But I also see there's a lot of people who are just stuck to poverty, and then sometimes they have a hard time to go out and see the picture. So it's something where we need to change in the paradigm. The poor need to change something, and the rich or those the haves need to change something.
Most of the change has to come from outside because it's imposed from the outside. Poverty is not created by the poor people. It's created by the system, by the institutions, by the policies, by the conceptualization of things around us. So we need to change those things. The seed of poverty is in the institution. Seed of poverty is in the policy, not in the person. So if you can extract those seeds away from those institutions and policies and concepts, there's no reason why anybody should be poor because it's not being imposed anymore. I talk about banking institution, why it has to remain busy with the rich only. It doesn't have to come all the way down. So we can create a financial institution completely differently, where even the beggars can go out and find the financial services. Within Grameen Bank,
then you proved it.
We do it all the time. Yeah. It's nothing fancy, nothing utopian. This is our daily bread. This is what we do. But still, the banking system has not changed. And today, we created a big crisis out of that banking crisis.
But the purpose is different. It's a totally different purpose.
A different purpose.
Money-making business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the purpose is in social
people.
Business is really what is it to help the people. Yeah. So one part you say it's coming from the outside, change the system. But is there a need in changing something in the education and schools also? So where you are involved in schools, do we have special education for the kids just to change the paradigms?
Absolutely. When you try to change the system, that's where the system begins, in your mind. So the education system has to address those changes that we are trying to bring in. And the concepts, that's where we train our young people, the concepts. And you need to change the concept. Then I talk about the concept of business, for example. The only concept of business we have in the capitalist economic theory is to make money. As if human being is a money-making machine. So I said human beings are not one-dimensional being. Human beings are multidimensional being. But the economic theory doesn't admit that. They depict you as if you are unidirectional human beings. All you know is make money. In order to justify the multidimensionality of human being, I'm saying that at least we need another type of business into the theoretical framework. This would be to do good to others rather than benefiting myself. So that's what I'm calling social business. When you have the profit-making business and social business together simultaneously in the same marketplace, world will be different. So we'll be teaching our young people, you have a choice. If you want to be an entrepreneur, which kind of entrepreneur would you like to be? Would you create a business to make money for yourself? Or you would like to do social business to do things, to do changes around the world through business? So young people may decide, or they say, we'll do both. What's wrong with it? I can make money here and use the money to do this. So they will have more options when you change the framework. And they, or those who are just going to work for companies, they will have a choice. Would you work for a profit maximizing company so that you bring more profit for the company? Or you'll do the work for the social businesses where you can bring more changes to the people's life by running a business and how to design it, how to improve it, how to innovate more services from it. So this is your challenge. You pick it up, which way direction you go. So that's what we'll be telling young people. And they'll tell you, I'll ask those young people to figure out what kind of world they will create. After all, you're not just a passenger on this spaceship. You are the pilots of this spaceship. Where will you take it? Design the destination where when you reach there, these are the things which will happen there. And then work for it. Go and do it. So today, young people are not given that task. Young people are taught minute details how to run a business. But business for what? What to do? Which destination I want to reach? What is it that I left behind? I leave behind when I leave from this planet. Today, everybody is so busy. It looks like we came from another planet and came here to plunder it. Let's plunder it. Get everything exhausted. And then we go home to other planet. There is no other home. This is our home. People forget it. And our responsibility to make it a beautiful home as we hand it over to our next generation. Each generation to be working very hard to make it more beautiful to hand it over to the next generation. Then it will be our home, not like the way we live, as if we live here as if we are the last generation on this planet.
Yeah, and we are not really happy with it. So this, then we're just talking with companies looking for money.
Yeah.
It's not nice to make money, but we make a lot of money today with businesses who are more destroying and not really creating something good for us. It's like if I look at the body, I feel we are so happy we need this national growth and growth because our finance system needs it. And we are addicted to the speed of growth like cancer. But the stupidity is the cancer, if it's big enough, kills the host. And we have no quality really in our gross national product, what we need to do. And I think there is, you don't talk so much about it, but if it's social. Yes, so that's in the future, like say, all what we really need should be a social business, and what is more luxury should be the money-making business.
You described it very well by using the word addiction. Making money, understand, is a means, but somehow it became an end by itself, as if that is the end result of life. That's not the end result of life. We make money for a purpose. And what is the purpose? What is the end to it? Social business provides you that end. I make money and use the money so that I can create the world that I have in my dream. This is what I want to do. And I do piece by piece, and I put my signature on this planet. I was here. This is what I did. And all human beings wants to leave behind a signature that I was here. And this is my contribution. Maybe it's a small one, but I did this. Whatever my capacity allowed me, I did my best. This is what I do. If every one of us did that little piece, world would be such a better place. Today, we forgot all of that. As if happiness means what a stack of money you're sitting on. Stack of money doesn't give the happiness. Happiness is about what you contribute, what difference you make people's life and to the planet. That's about the happiness. Our young people are not taught that way. Our young people taught that is to have a good education so that you can work for a good company and get a good money. Or you can run a good company and make a lot of money for yourself. To do what? How many cars can you own? How many houses can you buy? Doesn't make sense. So today we have to get out of that narrow interpretation, very, very narrow interpretation of life and economic system. And growth by itself doesn't do anything to me. Growth for a purpose, to go somewhere. Otherwise, why do we need that?
So with your bank, you found out it seems like it's easier to get this understanding with women. So it was harder with men. Is there's a reason why it was easier with women?
The reason for we focused on women comes from something else. It's a battle that I began with the conventional banks. I was complaining, I was making accusations to them before I began my work that they are wrong by rejecting poor people. They should be paying a lot more attention to the poor people than they do. And then I said they're also wrong and unjust because they reject women. Even if she is a rich woman, they don't pay any attention. To demonstrate that, I was quoting their numbers. I said, look at your numbers. Not even 1% of the borrowers that you have happen to be women. So you are totally discriminating against women. When I began, I wanted to make sure half the borrowers in my program are women. So that's my struggle began there. Women said, don't give it to me. I don't know anything about it. They were very scared about money and going into business. They would say, give it to my husband. I said, no, we are not going to give it to your husband. I'm going to give it to you. So it took a lot of years to build confidence in them that, yes, I can handle money. Yes, I can take care of myself. Then after 6 years, we came to that level 50-50. Then we noticed that money going to the family through women, bringing so much more benefit to the family. Then same amount of money going to the family through men. Seeing it repeatedly, we changed our policy. We said, let's focus on women because it brings so much more benefit to the family. And that was the reason why we switched the policy, because of the impact that they make. Today, 97% of our borrowers are women. We have 7.5 million borrowers and 97% women. So it's a bank owned by the borrowers, which means it's owned by the poor women. So the whole thing, microcredit became a system where it spread outside of Bangladesh. It became synonymous, microcredit as a credit for poor women. So it's 100% women around.
So we can see we have a great example, but we still have even the rest of the world to learn a lot. Is there some consultancy? So if someone wants to set up a social business or learn, or is it just the books, or can you contact someone?
Yes, always.
And say, okay, I want to learn it, and can you support us?
Yes, always welcome. Always welcome. We are trying to explain to the people because we feel very strongly this is what is needed to the world. And in many countries, people kind of go into big debate, intellectual debate. Our country is not same as Bangladesh. Our people are not as poor as Bangladesh. Our people are not as trustworthy as the people in Bangladesh. They can lend money without collateral. We can't do that. And I said, everything is wrong, you say. People are people. No matter where they live, if they are people at the very bottom, they are there because of the system pushed them into that situation. And you are a struggle against that situation by removing the hurdle. So in case you get into those debates, why don't you invite us? We'll come and set it up for you. What you're doing, the debating, we do the real work. And set it up and show you that it works right in your neighborhood, maybe most difficult part of your country. You tell us to go there and do it, and we'll do it. Today we are doing it in many different countries. We do it in Costa Rica, Guatemala, Turkey, Zambia, Tanzania, China, everywhere. So that to demonstrate, build it up, we call it build, operate, and manage contract. You give us the contract, we deliver it. So you're welcome to do that anytime.
So how was it for you now listening to this wise guy, Yunus, Mohammed Yunus? Interesting his thoughts. And it's not only thoughts, this is not a fantasy game. He is really creating things. He created the thing. He showed that it's working. He has set up different companies now. And at one point, I remember his companies, what he started with all the women and others, already made 18% of the gross domestic product of Bangladesh. That is a lot, starting with microcredits, with poor women. So I don't want really to disturb you with the reflection, but let's make another short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, if we get this, and it's something what we in the Western world totally ignore so far. When I said I was upset with the government just talking about, we need to do something about minimum wages and everything, but it's not really helping the business. Helping the business of the poor people. It's not really bringing them in the dignity, in the power, in the self-responsibility. And what Yunus did, and if we look what happened there, he helped thousands of people out of misery. And the government needed to pay no money for it. It is a change in belief. And how do we see the poor people? And a lot of politicians, big guys in companies, that's not our clients and everything. And we don't see them as human, and they are so valuable for a flourishing society. It's our stupidity that we don't see how to do it right. So what if, I don't know from which country you are listening. I can see it now, UK Health Radio UK, where people live in the fourth generation of welfare, what they are trained to believe, what their worldview is. I see it in Germany, where the politicians for years and years bought the votes of those poor people. I give you a little bit more money, but then you vote for us. It is a crime. It is a crime not to bring the people back to dignity. But it's a challenge that we say, oh, the poor people are my brother, my sister, and they are one of our family, and we are all the same. Can I see that? And can I really see, like we have it in the interview, that Yunus said, it is a system what keeps the people poor. They are trained. Society is like that. Our government, even if you have someone from the social party, the left-wing parties and everything, they always claim, we want to help the poor. They didn't do anything in the last 20, 30, 40 years to really build people up. So this is a challenge. See it different. And we all have to deal with it. And I myself needed to go through. And luckily, I met Yunus in his presence. Something could change in me that I really got the big ahas. But it was the first step. I was not directly there yet. But seeing that now, that what happens as a society is not that people don't want to, or the kids are stupid, or whatever thing. Wow, what is a system? How is a system encouraging people to learn, encouraging people to thrive? When we talk in Germany of how we need to have the equal chance for education, blah, blah, blah. We don't have that. They're in a different situation. And what is education really? What do we really need to learn? And the journalist somehow is right. We love to have poor people because that is sheep labor force. They are sheep people. And if they're a little bit more expensive, okay, now we come here to the robot, the artificial intelligence. Then we don't need the poor people anymore. So what do? We discuss that everybody gets just whatever income, kind of welfare again, that they don't need to work, and that they hopefully don't make a kind of civil war. It is still not that we want them as sisters and brothers on the same level. And it's so stupid. If I look at Bangladesh, what happened out of the poor people? Born, there's a bank. 7,000 women own a bank. They could climb up the ladder and then one day apply for a mortgage for their house. And they make it happen. They created wealth. And it's a healthy wealth. Because, see, if 7,000 people own the bank and they all grow, then you have a strong bank. Then you have a strong society. If only one owns a bank and the rest is poor, that is not really healthy. So we have to think a lot different. And act different for sure. But I know changing this was not easy. Still is not easy. And the difficult part is not only that I need to change, but it's also those who are, like I said, bonsaied from the system to explain then that you can change now and you can start get out of the slumps. You might be the first one. What can we do? That is difficult. That is really difficult. The project I'm supporting to create startups in Nigeria there, they think someone has the money, I need the money, and it's all about money, and they don't see how they can support each other. Then those who are just in need and have nothing to do, you can help and then create a business and maybe I can give you some food. They can't really work together, really. They didn't learn it. But anyway, it's a problem in school. There's rarely a school where they really create teamwork. At least I grew up and don't talk with a neighbor. I want that the teacher find out what are your mistakes. If you work together, maybe you create something, there's no mistake. No, we don't want that. I want to see your mistakes, your failures. And then later in business, we create workshops, hire a trainer that we can learn teamwork. It's such a crazy world. As long we are still in this competition, in this win-lose game, we should think a little bit. If I always think in win-lose, what can I win? Only that what other people are losing. That's the only thing what I can win. If the poor people have no money anymore, what should they buy? Some billionaires in America starting discussing this, how stupid we are. If we keep on doing that, then our business will be gone. So how can we create long-term sustainable wealth for a society if we see that everybody, like in Bangladesh, all the poor women can grow, create the bank, and that we then think different? Like in the past, we made all the wealth with war and sickness. War and sickness is somehow the same. It is about weapons for the war, weapons against the symptom, And it's about destroying something. It is not about how do we create peace if we never, ever need the war again, the weapons again. How do we create health, a super immune system that you maybe never need a pill again? That is a totally different thinking. But if we really get this one day, that health, peace, if we strive for that, this is without limit. If I destroy something, I know where the limit is. Only that would I destroy. Can I destroy it? If manage is the only thing, we need to cut costs. The best success they can have is the maximum of the cost. But if we really learn to create, then there is no limit. And on planet Earth, the law of polarity, duality, where the task is a solution, where the problem is a solution, it is up to us to learn to think different. And that was what I'm so grateful for Yunus. He changed my worldview. Non-profit is not good. It doesn't help me. If I'm high nose, I can give. It just supports my ego and not my true self and not my creativity. And it keeps the other poor. And they can't contribute really to our overall wealth and better future. So, non-profit, cut it off. For-profit, be careful. Everything is running for money. Money is important, that other thing. But always be aware, good business is always about solving problems for people, not misusing people. Money is never, ever really the purpose of a business. It is like, I can't say it often enough, you have a body. Blood is very important that you can live. You need enough for your circulation. You need blood. But the purpose of your life is not collecting blood. More blood, more blood, more blood, more blood, blood. It's crazy. You need to function good, and then the purpose of your life is something totally different. What is it how you serve the world? What is your purpose? What is it how you contribute? What is what you give to the world? What makes you extremely happy? What is your essence, your true nature, your true self? What you want to live? And then you can make a lot of money, not for profit, if you want to bring more purpose in your life. Money is okay to make life comfortable, but the main thing what we need a lot of money for is that we can bring our purpose, more of our purpose in the world. And then you're happy, your happiness is increasing because you get so much more positive feedback. Not just the money, it's the happy eyes you create if you serve the people. And those who are really going for money, you never see the really happy eyes. So, non-profit, pure profit, be careful, can be okay, but most people go for money and selling their soul, and it's totally okay. That's why people at the end of their life regret what they didn't do, because they regret that they didn't live their true self. And the rest is not for profit. But don't be afraid for profit. But good profits, not for profit, is win-win. Just making profit for profit is win-lose. That's not good. And if you on the level of non-profit, you on the level of lose-win or lose-lose. So that is not good. So not for profit is the best for really win-win. And you can have a super good life. And you don't need to steal. That's why today I always challenge people if they go currency trading or whatever thing, what they do. Oh, you can make a lot of money with that. Oh, shit. This is, for me, bad business. But people don't understand what they're creating, what they're sending in the world, what is a so-called morphogenetic field, a collective subconscious field. We're contributing all the time with our thoughts and our intentions. And if I just do currency trading and everything like that, it is, I want to win and someone else needs to lose. If you want to win in currency trading, someone else needs to lose. And I recommend stay away from those businesses. And if you believe that it's the only way you can make money, then you're anyway a poor guy, poor in creativity. Because there is not really a lack of money, there's always a lack of ideas. That is what I strongly also learned not only from my mentor, Bob Proctor, but especially also from Yunus, when he said, non-profit is not God. We support them in having no ideas and just give me money. The moment they understand it's about creation, they could create Doc Trust. And suddenly, they have a profitable business and helping thousands from dogs to find a home. And people get a good salary. Everything is fine. Everybody is happy. This is strong win-win. So not-for-profit is super good for win-win. And again, skip the non-profit, go not-for-profit. But it's okay if there is also for-profit business, if it helps to solve problems for the people. And there can be also, they want to have a luxury TV or whatever. It can be all those things, but not misusing people, not selling the soul. So the success and the money is really the result. In both ways, purpose before profit. Even if it's a for-profit business or a not-for-profit, always purpose before profit. Not-for-profit or profit, only difference is who get the profit, how we use a profit. That is the big difference. And please listen again to Yunus. And if you like, go on my YouTube channel and look for the interview and see him also, smell him, feel him. It's a wonderful soul, incredible guy. He changed millions of lives because of his being and helping them to grow and gain the dignity back. What if that would work for us and we could help a lot of other people with this? So this was another Winspiration episode. Today, a little bit retrospective, looking forward, was in the past. 2008 is a long time, but I see it here. It is still so modern, and we have still a long way to go. But the more we do it and get rid of the wrong beliefs and false ideas and change and see that there's so much more positive we can create, and we all go for it, I tell you, the best is yet to come. This was another episode of Winspiration, Wisdom and Information to support you getting out of illusions, false identifications, limiting beliefs. We all have the power and potential to be more, do more, have more, give more. Reality is what is possible in the universe, and the best is yet to come. If you want to dive deeper into possibilities of creating the extraordinary future, go to winspiration.global or to wolfgangsonnenberg.com. More information and some free downloads like the email program Dream Goals Reality or a copy of the book The Best Is Yet to Come can be found on the UK Health Radio website under the Listen on Demand and Presenters section. Join us again next week on the Winspiration Show for more wisdom and information to create your extraordinary future.